Welcome to the latest episode of the Culture Perth and Kinross podcast. In this episode, Dr. Nicholas Small revisits the Culloden letters that featured as part of 2019's summer exhibition, Jacobite Clans.
In our Jacobite Clans exhibition in the summer of 2019, Perth Museum were fortunate to work with lots of partners and we displayed many items that came from other collections, not just our own. One item was related to the Murray family of Dollery near Crieff. This is letters which were collected after Culloden by the family and which were eventually bound together as a book. The letters are from various people, but they tell a unique family story of a father and his son, and they illustrate in many ways why people joined the Jacobite campaigns and what people at that time really thought about what was going on and what might happen. They're a really wonderful snapshot of life at that time. In 1745, Anthony Murray of Dollery wrote to his father to tell him of his intention to join Charles Edward Stuart, Bonnie Prince Charlie, in his daring campaign to regain the throne of Great Britain. Charles had raised the standard at Glenfinnan and had the support of the Highland clans. The French were coming, apparently, and Anthony took his chance. He knew his father would be displeased at the news, and his letter is at once apologetic, but also unrepentant. His decision had been made. I quote from the letter now. "Sir, the extreme anxiety I have towards the Prince's interest caused me join him, without doing myself the honour, as I thought in duty, to have waited upon you, for which I crave pardon of you for that neglect. Indeed, I was afraid of your displeasure, if I should have suggested my intention of the present affair that I have engaged with, and if I'd not and sincerely do still think that God Almighty was with the cause." So began with these words a correspondence from which only 19 letters survive. These letters were, as I say, collected together, bound as a volume, and cared for and protected by the Murray of Dollery family for generations. And they tell this young man's decision to become a Jacobite. Anthony Murray of Dollery was probably born around 1700. His parents married in the late 1690s, and his actual birth date's not known. The family had lands and authority in Crieff and Strathearn. He married Margaret Murray of Curross and Fife in 1735. She had inherited lands there, and so they lived there with her family. They had two children before 1738, a daughter Margaret and a son, also Anthony. Anthony's father was known as Auld Dullery. He's also Anthony, which is a bit confusing, but they're all Anthony. But he's known as Auld Dullery, and he had kept himself aloof from the politics of the time. He tried his best to put the interests of Crieff and its people before any personal allegiance. The Jacobite rebellions had been going on for decades, and Auld Dullery had been involved locally when his son Anthony was just a boy. In 1716, the Jacobite forces retreating after Sheriff Muir had burned down towns and villages in Strathearn in order to prevent an advancing government force from gaining any support or provision. It was Auld Dullery who came out to plead for the town. He was not successful in preventing the burning of Strathearn, a terrible act which saw people turned out of their homes, their farms and buildings were burned, and many believed this was a Jacobite act of revenge on the people of the area for not turning out to support them in the 1715 rebellion. Auld Dullery held fast, he was neutral and he would not join, but after the burning of Strathearn he went on to devote decades of his life to secure compensation for ordinary working folk in Crieff and the surrounding area. Was it a shock for him to discover his son was going over to the cause in 1745? The letter suggests young Anthony anticipated some displeasure, so it would be reasonable to assume that Auld Dullery would have preferred that his son remain as neutral as he himself had been. Anthony could only reiterate that he was sure that God was with the prince and his campaign. Once he'd made this choice and given his support for Bonnie Prince Charlie, Anthony could not now return to his own home in Fife or to his father's lands in Crieff without implicating his immediate family, so for some time he stayed away. From various locations, sometimes unknown, he continued to write to his father and to his wife Margaret. Other people sometimes gave news too. A man called Robert Dunning wrote to Auld Dullery in September of 1745 and reported from Perth on Bonnie Prince Charlie and his force being at the town. I quote from this letter. "I hope you received no damage by the Prince's army, which was a most loose kind of people, and I really think acted far beyond what the Prince inclined, who I took to be a discreet, pleasant youth. I see him several times both on foot and on horseback. He made a very good appearance, seems very fit for warlike expeditions. This is what Robert Dunning had thought when he saw the prince and his forces in Perth. So this news and appraisal of the prince, well, it might not exactly have cheered Antony's father, but perhaps he was heartened to know that the prince seemed to be a sensible young man and fit for the task ahead. Who can grasp the enormity of what was at stake? Had the Jacobite forces prevailed, might young Antony return home a hero with honours, title, position? The stakes were high. Antony wrote to his wife Margaret in September. He was keen to tell her that General Cope had been killed or wounded in the most recent action at Preston Pan. He talked highly of the Scots in battle, saying that the Highland army, after the first fire, broke in, sword in hand, and behaved like Scots men. But as a postscript, he added that this letter was written, in case I come not home so soon as I intended. Now, this letter was followed with instructions from Antony to Margaret, which empowered her to deal with all of his affairs. In this patriarchal era, it was important for women to be given such power in a legal way. Many women knew very well how to run estates and households and how to deal with all kinds of complex legal issues. But this letter would ensure that should Antony be captured or killed, then the family property and wealth would be secured. He was trusting her to deal with everything in his absence. He wrote, I know my father will be offended at my not seeing him, but I must depend upon you for making the best of it with him, since I am resolved to stand by them, the Jacobites, death or life. Margaret appears to be satisfied with her husband's decision to join the cause. She wrote to her father-in-law, giving him any news she had, and her interest in Jacobite affairs could be read as a signal of her own personal allegiance to the Jacobite cause. It's obviously very hard to tell. People writing at that time wouldn't put these things down as it was a rebellious act. She provided her husband's father with quite in-depth news. Perhaps everyone was keen to know the details. Or was there really some hope within the wider family that Bonnie Prince Charlie would prevail and the family fortunes might change? Perhaps Antony coming home safely was the greatest concern. It's not a given that wives meekly obeyed their husbands in these kinds of matters. Many wives were fierce Jacobites and were known to show more passion for the cause than others in their families, including some of the men. Jacobitism was a means for women to show their own independence over political and religious matters for some. Margaret shows something of her true colours in another letter, and she's condemning somebody who would not follow Charlie and not accompany her husband. I cannot deny my goodwill to the cause, for I think it just, she wrote, but at the same time would neither have advised nor wished him to go, and assures you I could not help it. This is what she's saying to Antony's father. She continued, when he was going away, his man David then told him, and not till then, that he would not go, which you may believe angered him not a little. His reason was that his wife would not let him. But the plain reason was cowardice. Wow. So she's not very happy that Antony's main man, if you like, is not going to go. These words highlight the power of nobles to command allegiance from those around them. Many local women, such as Charlotte, Lady Lude, used their position to influence others. Lady Lude openly threatened her tenants if they did not turn out for the cause. In this case, it was Antony's man David who refused to serve his master in this, and we can only assume what the consequences were for him and his family. Letters with news were vital. While the campaign continued, it seemed that Antony moved in and around Perth, and he mentioned meeting with other Jacobites at Dundee and being at Gask with the Oliphant family. A family connection, a Mrs. Clark, wrote to Auld Dullery, giving news from Perth around November 1745. She wrote, I shall give you what has come to my knowledge, which is that Lord John Drummond is landed with some French troops and is to be here next night. And leastwise, Duke Henry is landed in England with 60,000 men. I also had a line this morning from Dundee telling me there is a French ship landed at Dundee. Mrs. Clark also broke the news that an express come from the prince giving an account of Carlisle being surrendered with 8,000 stand of arms and a vast deal of money and plate and a great number of light horses, which is of great use to the prince's army. Now, is all this true? It's quite dramatic stuff from Mrs. Clark. She's very excited about the idea that Bonnie Prince Charlie's brother's arriving. He's coming with the French. He's bringing 60,000 men. This is very dramatic stuff. And this is what I like in these letters, that people might be reporting what we know now to be true or false, but you get that sense of energy about it. It's an excitement. It's very dramatic. And are people really afraid? What is the worst thing that can happen here, and what are they really fearing? So this is a great deal of fear and excitement over events, and a lot of news being passed locally, which would have stirred people up and given folk a real shock on a morning in November. In December 1745, Old Dullery received another letter which reported that his son continues perfectly well, but the confirmation of the French having actually landed seemed remote, and that there are now differing accounts of the prince's retreat and the Duke of Cumberland's march. Now, this was the retreat back into Scotland after Bonnie Prince Charlie turned back at Derby. Anthony himself remained positive at this news, and he wrote himself, "The hopes of restoring an injured prince were the motives for bringing out many to join this cause. However, it is not to be doubted, since the kings of Spain and France are engaged in the prince's side, that although some unsuccessful events will ensue, I firmly believe he or his brother will carry through their design." So there we have a really clear hope on Anthony's part that he might be losing a little bit of faith, but he still thinks there's hope. After this letter, Anthony joined the Jacobite forces as they retreated north. His journey would end at Culloden, and there are no more letters from Anthony, none that survive. Letter 18 is a long note written by Old Dullery, which outlines all the details and information that he's come to ascertain about his son's fate in the battle. Dullery himself writes in letter 18, "I was informed after what was written before that this Mr. Johnson was sergeant to the squadron where Anthony was, and that he told a relation of his at or near Culross when he was passing south that when their squadron were flying, Anthony cried, 'Damn you for cowards, are you returning your backs?' Upon which he put spurs to his horse and rushed forward against the enemy. And Mr. Murray, who'd been a clerk at Alloa, told the same story of Anthony's pressing forward amongst the enemy when the rest of his squadron gave way, and it seems they never so much as stayed to engage the enemy." And he writes at the end of this letter that this was information which a Mr. Curry, a cabinet writer at Edinburgh, gave me about my son Anthony. So he's gathered all sorts of bits of news here, and it may have brought him some comfort to believe that Anthony fought bravely, showed himself to be an honourable man, and engaged the enemy when people in his squadron, as it's called, were running away. The final letter is dated December 1746, and it confirms to Old Dullery his son's death. Letter 19 is from a man called George Stirling, and he says, "Dear Sir, knowing the anxiety you was in about your son, in case you've not heard anything of him yet, I thought it would be agreeable, though it's but a melancholy account I can give you. There's a niece of mine here just now, a sister of Graham of Duchres, who has seen several gentlemen who was at the Battle of Culloden, and they all agree that your son fell there, for they never heard any more. This I thought fit to acquaint you. My service to you, and believe I am, dear sir, your very humble servant, George Stirling, December 1746. So old Anthony Murray of Dullery has confirmation there, after the battle, and quite long after, that there was no sign of Anthony returning or going into exile or possibly being in hiding. It really is all over for the family. These letters could do with a lot more study and research. They're a fascinating collection, which really was about a father putting together the story of how his son came to be engaged in the service of Bonnie Prince Charlie. But like I say, they're a fascinating insight, a wee snapshot into what was happening at Perth and in the surrounding area, and they give a really human element to that story. There's no more sadness, really, than that last one, a melancholy account. People know that they're bringing the worst possible news to old Murray of Dullery, and he was then forced to bring up his grandson, young Anthony, without his son there in the middle, and that, of course, was the fate of many families at that time when the Jacobite rebellions failed. A wonderful selection of letters, the Culloden letters.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode and others, please rate it on Apple Podcasts and share it with your friends. Perth Museum and Art Gallery reopens on Saturday the 1st of August. Entrance is free, but tickets must be booked in advance, and you can find the ticket link in the show notes. You can also find out about everything Culture Perth and Kinross does by visiting our website www.culturepk.org.uk.